Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After evaluating the tape and getting together with the coaches, what is the plan for quarterback going forward?
Jacoby is our quarterback until I say he's not the quarterback. I thought last night he showed a lot of toughness, a lot of grit, you know, on protection breakdowns, tried to do what we asked him to do. But I would say just as a team, as a coaching staff, we just got to be better.
Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo moments ago.
There you have it.
We planned on going to the podium live. The guy's early.
All you Jacoby fans.
All the time. The guy's early.
Always early press conference.
Okay, you say there you go, all you Jacoby fans, like it's done?
For Sunday, I think he's going to start.
You think he's starting on Sunday based on that answer?
Yeah. I don't think he's starting the following week.
I mean,
I think he's starting Sunday because I think part of their plan.
It's certainly stronger than last night, but yeah. I still think there's wiggle room there. He's the starter until I say he's not the starter. He can come in on Monday and be like, he's not the starter.
No, that's true. I just don't feel like he's going to lose it in practice this week. I think it's possible. I mean, he's sort of. I think by talking about his toughness and highlighting his toughness, I think he is sort of putting it on everybody else. Like, I'm sure he knows that Jacoby didn't have like a great game or anything, but I think he's saying, like, well, what do you want him to do? And he might subscribe to some of the thinking that some of the listeners that we've talked to have so far about, like, you're just going to get the guy murdered. So he was already the sacrificial lamb. He's the pinata this season, and he's not hurt, so they're going to keep riding Brissett. Also, maybe they're looking at it in a similar way where, all right, you have San Francisco, maybe not a world beater, but still a good team. Back home against Miami is probably a safer landing spot for Drake May. I mean, you're right. There's always it's a mini bye week, as it were, right? You have a week and a half off to get to your next game. So we'll see how many practices they have and whatever, and if there's a chance. But as of today, you know, you had a chance to sleep on it last night, knew it was going to be the first question, and made it much clearer today than he did last night.
Oh, well, so I totally agree with that. Yeah. He called off the dogs to a degree. I don't think the door is slammed shut, but it's not as wide open as it was last night. Nick says there's more.
Ooh,
from this press conference.
Really?
Again, this is moments ago. Gerard Mayo, he's asked about the practice plan.
Huh.
The practice plan for Drake May this week.
Gerard, I'm just curious if you guys would consider altering the practice plan for the quarterback reps. Is there any chance you might want to give Drake a little bit more moving forward?
Right now, I would say it's still status quo, and kind of said it earlier, Jacoby's still our starting quarterback, and we just got to be ready to support him. 11 guys out there on offense, so it's everyone.
Where's he calling from?
Okay, I have a good question.
What is that?
Everybody's in the car on the ride.
Yeah, everybody's having a nice drive.
He's early. Hey, no. Mayo's early again. Like, hey,
so nobody's there.
Do the press conference when you're supposed to, Mayo. You won't get calls from the car. But so
in this day and age, we're gonna ask questions from the car.
Okay, I honestly feel worse about that one. If you want Drake May to start, and I do, and I think it's time to do it, so I think the Patriots are wrong about this.
If he's not up in the practice reps,
win the job. When you say it's status quo, then you're right. They're not making the move. So I feel worse. Right, this week.
But like,
worse about that answer than the first one.
But like the first week, there wasn't really questions about Drake May because they won.
Right.
It wasn't pretty. It wasn't like the greatest show on turf, but they won the game.
No, Mayo laughed at Wiggy. He's like, come on.
Yeah, we won.
Yeah. We won, Wiggy.
Right, but like, and you didn't even get it at like a press conference, right?
No.
You got it on the morning show, which was great, but like, you didn't get it there. So that was 1 week. Even in the second week, it wasn't an offensive tour de force, but you scored 20 points and you lost in overtime. So there really wasn't any questions. So you're already getting, right, following the third game, first question, third game is about the quarterback. It's a 17-game season. He's not going to last. Jacoby Brissett's not going to last the whole season. Even if he avoids injury,
right,
he's not going to last.
Like,
and Kern might be right. He might get hurt.
Physically, he probably won't last, but you're talking strictly his
no
play.
Chance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No chance.
Yeah.
Because at some point, you have to go to the next guy. Even if the next guy was Bailey Zappe or Ryan Tannehill, let alone the number three pick in the draft. So I just don't think it's going to be this week. I mean, Mayo's kind of making it pretty clear it's not going to be this week, but we preseason, didn't we both pick week five? We all did took a stab.
I had week two.
You took week two.
I had the home opener.
My bad. I took week five. I think that's very much in play. If they struggle against San Francisco, specifically the offense again, then I think we see the change.
No. Week five, right. Mayo didn't say they're not going to go to Drake May. And they went to him in the game last night.
Now, you could argue it's a missed opportunity because you have a few extra practices, and it is.
I never said they were doing it against the Niners. I didn't say that earlier today. No. I said they should. It's time.
Yeah.
But I wasn't making a prediction they were going to. I was hoping with the door open for Mayo, they would at least keep it open longer than they did. But no, those two answers. The first one, Keith was right, shut the door a little bit. That one, to me, just slammed it.
Is it locked?
It's now locked. For this week, the door is locked. They threw away the key.
Padlocked.
They threw away the key. They put it on a ring. It's for Keith's keys.
Yes, hell yeah.
Next week.
Next. Oh, yeah, keys to the Niners.
Potentially.
A gold rush stuff.
Which, by the way, I put this out on Twitter earlier today, Keith.
Go ahead.
I put this out on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people saw last night coming, but if you listened to Keith's keys at 1 o'clock yesterday.
Oh, it was in there.
You would have seen the full
21.
Yeah, you would have known exactly what was going to play out if you listened to Keith's keys yesterday. So we encourage you to do that every week here on Jones and Keith. It's hour number two. On a Patriots Friday on WEEI, we're going to be joined this hour by DeMarcus Covington. Are the Patriots worse than we thought on defense, Keith, would be my question.
And yes.
Another way to ask, was last night about their defense, or was last night about, and I was very skeptical this guy could do it, a vintage Aaron Rodgers performance, and you're going against a guy on top of his game. I thought early in the game, your guy, Herb Street, was way over the top in his Rodgers praise.
Yeah, he loves Rodgers.
But even I called off the dogs like by the second half. I'm like, Rodgers playing great. I'm like, he's rolling out. He's throwing on the run. He's running away from guys, keeping the ball running away from guys.
Well,
like,
when he gets a little bit of
accuracy.
Yeah, when he gets a little bit of time, he is an assassin.
I did not think Rodgers could still do that. Yeah. I was wrong. He was awesome. So was last night. The Patriots' defense is now worse than we thought. It stinks. Or was it about, you went against one of the elites and he tore you up?
So I think it might be more the Patriots' defense isn't as strong as we thought.
That's what I think.
And I like Rodgers. Yeah. Right, that's one of our big arguing points for the whole Jets and for the NFL this season is how we feel about Rodgers. But I think you can't ignore what Geno Smith was able to do and what not only DK Metcalf, but Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Right, so with Metcalf, you're like, oh, it was one busted coverage. Like, well, no, he did have 10 catches. And then Smith-Njigba, he had, 12 catches or whatever it was. So, like, those guys torched him. Geno Smith was so comfortable, and he was picking apart the defense. So then Aaron Rodgers just does the same thing. So the pass rush isn't as good. The coverage isn't as good. It's kind of what we were hoping for, what we saw a lot of against Cincinnati, which I think very much is just a Cincinnati thing.
Yeah.
That's what the last 2 weeks, that's what we've learned.
The thing Bengals we've learned is the Bengals were
scheduled
they were
Cincinnati
on strike.
For week one.
Yeah.
You want to play Cincinnati week one every single season because after that they turn into a real team. But yeah, these last 2 weeks, and unfortunately last night, I think is way more indicative of what they are. And the offense might be a bottom two offense in the NFL, and the defense might be more middle of the pack. I'm not ready to say they suck, but I think they're more like middle of the road than they are top five, top 10.
I was bullish on the defense after week one. I'm like, wow, they really might be a top five unit. And I went into the year thinking they'd be middle of the pack. That's why I think it is. They're not as good as we were hoping. And Rodgers is way better than I thought. What'd you think of the exchange, him and Saleh, when he came off the field after the Breece Hall touchdown?
Yeah, and I guess these guys were more on the same page post-game, right? But I still don't think he really likes or respects Saleh. That's my view of it.
Would you do that to somebody you like and respect? Your boss. Where if you didn't see it, I don't know how you didn't see it. Maybe we can get it out on one of our social media accounts.
That's me and Ken every time the show's over. Ken tries to give me a hug.
Hey, Mike Thomas. Out of my face, Mike Thomas.
Out of here. Go to my car.
So, like, you know, would you do that to somebody you like and respect? Your boss coming off the field. And they both said it was about two scores. Oh, yeah, you're seeing it on Twitch now. Good job, Turp. Twitch.tv/BostonWE.
Pretty hilarious.
He says, get out of here, dude. Says it was two scores.
Don't touch me.
You know, I think he was saying it's too early or something
maybe.
Like, well, too early to hug me, dude.
Maybe Saleh, maybe that's what Rodgers is saying. He's like, you're acting like the game's over, dude.
Right.
Like, the game's not over. Like, get it off me. Don't touch me. I don't like to be touched.
So it's like, even though Rodgers was great last night, it was vintage Rodgers. It was vintage Rodgers in more ways than one.
Same thing got I was going to say, Rodgers.
Absolute flaming a-hole Aaron Rodgers last night as well.
That was Robert Saleh knows what it's like to be Aaron Rodgers' father or mother.
You see?
Brother. They've all dealt with that same push away.
It's a good point.
Sad.
But grandma.
Grandma, yeah. Anybody. Yeah, anybody that Rodgers family tree.
Auntie Helen.
Push them all down.
Stay away. He just shoves them away.
Get off me. Well, like, who do you feel...
Beast mode stiff-armed him away.
Who has a better chance of being on the Jets next year, Robert Saleh or Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, of course. It's Rodgers for sure. What was I just going to say about Rodgers?
Pushing him away?
Did you see he walked off on Freeze Pops last night?
Devs Freeze Pops. A little gotcha media.
Freeze Pops asked him a question.
Freeze Pops trying to get him.
Freeze Pops was peppering him about what'd you say to Drake May after the game. Drake May was standing there waiting, called him the GOAT.
I had no idea we were sending Freeze Pops down to the MetLife. Oh, yeah.
Freeze Pop's on the road?
Yeah.
Is he going to San Fran?
You better start walking now.
Long week. Get you there.
I think this was he went by himself and just told the company he was there.
Nice. Way to go, Freeze Pops.
Freeze Pops.
So,
Roger stiff-armed him, too.
Yeah, he was like, hey, what'd you tell Drake May, right? And he was like, that's between us.
Yeah, and walked off.
Good stuff, though.
Yeah. Run away.
No, that was solid.
Freeze Pops.
Way to go, Pops.
Pops Mentzebatsu.
Freeze Pop power ranking.
Ooh.
Pink.
Don't they all taste the same?
No.
Yes,
God,
they do.
No, Jones,
yeah, they do.
No way.
Yeah,
I think maybe you have a taste bud problem. No, the orange is trash. The grape is not very good. You want green, blue, pink,
red.
All
just basically taste the same.
No way. Billy,
help me out here.
It's like an
Freeze Pops don't all taste the same.
No, I mean,
there's six distinct flavors.
Distinct is a strong word.
Yeah, distinct is a strong word.
Six flavors.
But I mean, if you brought in six flavors and you were blindfolded, I think you'd be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, I for sure would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Blindfold me.
Oh, it's the orange. Out of here, orange.
Oh, I just cut my mouth.
Yeah. That one's grape.
All right, fair enough.
Maybe the butter guy in the chat loves grapes. Says grapes the goat. Disagree.
See, grape I'm with them.
That's why we need to hang out. Then you can have all the grapes. I'll have all the good
I'll
flavors.
I'll eat all the orange ones.
That's a good point.
Perfect. Billy, get out the orange.
Nice. We need six people for this.
Yeah. Why do you think they call them Freeze Pops?
I don't know. Is it self-appointed?
Our Patriots guy.
Well,
I think there was a story because we worked with them at the other place. And I think when he got there was some story about when he was at a job before that one.
Jesus.
He had brought a box of them in and, like, put them in the fridge.
Mm.
And then that's...
Like, it was just kind of like his snack. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Some
oh,
people
I
bring
see.
Their lunch. I think
so
you're that's...
Freeze so pops. He's like, I'm just hammering Freeze Pops at work?
I think
guy.
That was the story. I can't... Yeah. I don't want to write it in stone, but I think
I don't
that's
hate
I heard.
It. At least it wasn't the teeny guy. The teeny weeny guy or whatever. What were those little drinks?
Yeah, teenies.
Yeah. At least he wasn't that guy. That'd stick with
Tommy Teenies.
Teeny Tommy.
Teeny Tommy.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I think that was the story.
No, but it's not ironic.
Just brought it, just brought it in as a snack.
Yeah, let's get back to the phones. Bill's in Exeter. Go ahead, Bill. Bill?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So, as a fan of a team that's got some new life breathed into us, I maybe can do the same for you guys. Start May. Against the Niners. Herbert's first start was against the Chiefs coming off a Super Bowl victory. Hmm. And their tackles at various points in that season were named Sam Tevy and Storm Norton.
Storm Norton?
Good now, players. Not the receivers.
Yeah.
The receivers score. You got Allen. You know, you had Williams. But
still,
trial by fire, you'll know what you got.
Well, that's my belief. Now, I don't feel better about the chances
Storm
of that happening.
Storm Norton's a good name.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
The Pats are...
I remember Storm Norton because I think he was like the worst offensive lineman graded.
Well, and Herbert had like a rookie of the year season behind him.
That's before this Patriots offensive line. So maybe call up Storm Norton. See what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Sorry.
Storm, it's Elliott Wolf.
Can you be in San Francisco by Sunday? We need you.
He's like, yeah, I'm living on the street here. 617-779-7937. We'll get to all your feedback here coming up. Robert Kraft was interviewed on Prime before the game last night. You see this, Keith?
I missed it. I did see the Prime pregame show, though,
yeah.
Or the very beginning. Like the beginning.
Oh, Arcan.
WEI Afternoons. No, Arcan only.
Yeah, just Arcan.
Arcan led the pregame show.
He did.
It was him. He had like some blistering hot take about something.
Oh, he's ripping the pads just to shreds.
Yeah. Like, they're awful. They shouldn't even be in the league.
Nom, 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 nom,
yeah, so he ripped right into him.
Two. And then Kraft was interviewed by Taylor Rooks. It was just a bloodbath. She dwarfed him by like a foot.
Yeah, well.
Just a bloodbath.
Tall.
But he had some interesting things to say.
All right.
About Jerod Mayo and that hire. How are we feeling about Jerod Mayo?
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right here with Patriots owner Robert Kraft. Now, you know, Bill Belichick and Jerod Mayo have very different leadership styles.
You think so?
Just a little. In what ways have you seen Mayo really install his own culture?
Well, look, Jerod learned a lot from Bill and, the technical background, but they're each special individuals. I've gotten to know Jerod over the last 15 years, and I picked him 5 years ago to be our next head. Very special. It's great.
the ability to train under Bill.
Hey, Bezos, get the technology figured out there on Amazon.
Clean it up a little bit.
Seriously. Get a good mic on Kraft, would you?
There's some good stuff in there. Some good intel. He said what now?
5 years ago.
Did Belichick know that?
He picked out Gerard Mayo as the head coach.
5 years ago?
I don't know. That was...
So was that the 2019? So 2019?
It was his first year when he was back. And actually, was he even there? I mean, Kraft, I read Reese earlier yesterday, and the story's been out there. It's Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It's Patriots Friday. We're going to talk to DeMarcus Covington soon-ish here on a Patriots Friday. We'll also talk to Mike and Wayne.
He returned in 2019 as the inside linebackers coach. So his first year. So that was, what, Brady's last year with the team.
But what Reese wrote yesterday, and this has been out there, is that they went on a trip to Israel.
Yep, we knew that.
And Mayo was still at Optum. He wasn't even on the coaching staff yet, and he was bridging together like...
Oh, my God. If I hear the Optum story one more time.
The old players with the current players and guys he played with. And Robert Kraft was like, you know, I started thinking, hey, a light bulb went off. That could be my next coach. But that didn't... That he felt stronger there on TV last night than some of the other stuff
different.
I've read.
Yeah, because I
made the decision 5 years ago, not like, oh... All right, keep an eye on this guy.
What I'd always thought was it was the way it was described was they made the decision a year ago to have him be the head coach in 2 years.
They
but then the season was so bad that they were like,
they
all
put
right.
it in writing in his contract going into the 2023 year. Yes.
So meaning they made that decision in my mind in like 21 or 2, not 2019 when he hadn't coached a snap yet. Right. He was just joining the team as an inside linebackers coach and you already knew he was going to be the head coach. So that part seems kind of wild to me. And, you know, that's another kind of feather in the cap of Belichick. You know, like if you're on Team Belichick, here's the owner hires your replacement and is just on the staff, like the coach in waiting, like you're at some bad college team. And you're like, yeah, at some point we're going to turn things over to Mayo. That's bizarre.
It is. So how does that make you feel about the whole hiring process, the Gerard Mayo experience? We can get into it here at 617-779-7937. We've been discussing the game, obviously, all day. How bad was it? How bad will the Patriots be? What went wrong last night? Who's it on? Is it on Gerard Mayo not having the team ready? DeMarcus Covington, who we'll talk to, not a good defensive game plan for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. The offensive game plan was horrendous. 7 pass plays in their first 9 plays last night.
A lot of good play action, though.
Including play action,
they
which
were
the
taking
Jets,
the cheese.
The Jets never once fell for last night.
Didn't take a bite.
You were telling me there's 2 comments from Van Pelt. I guess Van Pelt is talking now.
Yeah.
And by the way, Gerard Mayo talked earlier this hour. He basically made it sound like they're sticking with Jacoby Brissett. He said, I'll let you know if there's a change at quarterback. And, by the way, the reps are going to stay the same at practice. What was the Van Pelt
Reese tweeted out. Alex Van Pelt explained that the team's success running the ball the first 2 weeks led to him calling more play action passing plays early in the game last night. He says in hindsight, he would have flipped that and called more run plays early.
Yeah. So I will say, I don't think this is not a second guess by us. We said,
no,
when you throw to the receivers, give Pop Douglas some short, easy stuff, quick game stuff, wide receiver screens, things like that. That's what we said.
Yeah.
We didn't say force feed the ball to Pop Douglas. In fact, we said that's not what you should do. Because
we made that very clear.
You run on the Jets.
Well, there's a big difference between 0 targets and 9 targets and a carry.
And 10 opportunities. Right. 9 plus 1, 10 opportunities.
And
right.
So he had 7. So a lot of them were close, right? A lot of them were close to the line of scrimmage to get him the ball. I'm like, okay, that's great. But that should be while the running game, which is your strength and perhaps New York's defense's weakness, you needed more of that. And I know the game kind of gets away from me, and at the end it gets a little bit tilted, but 6 carries for Ramondre Stevenson? Like, they ran for 185 yards against Seattle, and they ran for 78 on 15 carries.
And the Niners ran for like 180 on him, and the Titans ran for like 130 on him.
Oh, on the Jets, yeah.
Yes,
no, exactly.
On the Jets, I'm sorry.
I'm saying the Patriots clearly are a run-first team. They've told anybody who will listen they're a run-first team. They have... a good running back, even though he had a really bad night, but they also didn't really go to him much at all. And they kept trying to get the play action, and the Jets are like, we're not taking the cheese on this. Like, we'll make Brissett beat us, and he's not going to be able to beat anybody.
No, your strength aligned with their weakness.
Which is usually a good formula.
You didn't exploit it on a short week, and that was as non-competitive of a game as you're going to see. Mm. By the way, Van Pelt was also asked this, I guess, by Karen Grigian. Will Drake May improve more by playing or watching?
Yes. Okay.
Van Pelt said,
"That's a great question.
I think by watching,
hot. I can tell you from experience, it's not by watching."
Yeah, I did a lot.
Let me make it really clear.
Let me tell you, yeah. I did a lot of watching. So much watching. And it was...
Doesn't help, actually.
It was pretty rocky.
You need to experience it yourself.
Yeah, some experience was...
Necessary.
Even the minimal experience is very, very,
way better.
Very handy.
By all accounts, it's better. So you think he's going to learn more from just having a watch?
He said, I think by watching.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Jacoby's our starter. Gerard said that. Until that changes, we got to do everything we can to get the starter ready on Sunday.
Nice.
Not this Sunday, though.
No.
Thank
no.
God they're off.
No. Yeah. Thank God they have extra time to game plan. I can't wait to see what they cook up with 10 days to get ready for this one.
Oh, my God. Let's go back to the phones here. 617-779-7937. Steve's waiting patiently in Fall River. Go ahead, Steve.
I called you guys yesterday. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great.
I gave you professional quality advice about this game under playing the Jets.
Yeah, you said, Steve, if I remember correctly, you said they have the better quarterback, you said they have the better roster, they'll win the game. You were right.
I also said that if you looked at his line in the previous game, you were going to be fooled. If you looked at his pass completions, they were crisp. He looked like he was zipping the ball out, and that he would get better with his receivers. I also said the second running back was devastating, and they have two good running backs.
Okay, Steve,
you must have won $1 million on the game.
Yeah, Steve,
congratulations.
So
you picked the game right.
So are the Jets winning the Super Bowl? What are you saying?
No, but the Jets are clearly in the power, moved up to second in this division.
Okay, fine. Okay. So we said you were right.
Yeah, he was right. No, he was right. I mean, Steve, you were right about that.
You nailed it. You probably cashed in.
So here's what I wonder. Was that vintage Rodgers because Rodgers is locked in and you're going to get MVP-level Aaron Rodgers? Or was he just going against a trash-ass Patriots team?
Well, so I think, not to not answer your question, I think it's kind of both. Like, I think Rodgers, it's game three. He's coming off a big-time injury. He's playing with guys for, in a lot of cases, the third time. So I think he's getting better while the Patriots defense kind of crashing back down to earth. Right, they lose Bentley, so he's one of their more sure tacklers. The pass rush was really mostly just Keon White the first couple of games, and maybe the secondary is getting a little bit exposed because they didn't look good against Geno Smith, right? So like, it's not like they're this world-beating defense, but I do think Rodgers is going to look like that more often than not the rest of the season.
Yeah, score one for Steve. It was a good call.
Yeah, he crushed it.
Let's go to Sorja in Mansfield. You there this time, Sorja?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are we?
Good.
Pretty good.
I had the mic muted earlier, so thank you so much
Classic.
For taking the call.
No problem.
Really quick here, I think all facets of the game, coaching, the players, every Elliott Wolf for not doing anything in the offseason, everyone looked poor last night. Jacoby Brissett was pressured on 56.5% of the dropbacks, 14 missed tackles by the defense. You got Gerard Mayo saying that, you know, you got to stop the run game. Well, you only had 15 rushing attempts. We're trying to turn Jacoby Brissett into Tom Brady. Like, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know whether you put in Drake May against the 49ers or the Dolphins, but if we don't start Drake May against the Dolphins, I think that's a lot of concern because you think about it. And
okay,
it's
so,
like,
so Sorja, I agree. And you had a lot of time there. Especially for a second call-in with your phone muted the first time.
It happens.
When it comes to the May decision, is this where ownership gets involved? Like, and I'm not saying for the Niners game, but like, all right, fine.
It was
you
pretty
guys,
bad last night.
Like that,
the crafts were there,
last
front row,
night
not front
me,
row, but...
Last night to me was one of those where you're like, yeah, one of those where you're like, we run the risk of people not watching again and not like hardcore Patriots fans or even like big sports fans, but like your neutral casual fans. They look at it and go, why do I need to watch that team again with this quarterback?
Well,
like
week four,
call me when Drake May's in the game, but I'm not watching until then. I think you're teetering on that, to be honest.
I think if week four was at Gillette Stadium, you might have a better chance that the Crafts kind of swoop in there. So if they go with Jacoby, right to this point, they've let the football guys do the football moves and decisions. So if week four looks anywhere similar to what last night looks like, if it's not Van Pelt and Mayo coming up with the we should go to Drake May, I wouldn't be surprised if they get the or was it Kern that told us like you might not get straight up, hey, you need to play this guy, but you get the sort of hey guys, like all of a sudden they're in your office, like you're not normally down
that
here.
Kern,
and they're like,
yeah.
What's going on with May this week? Like we're not telling you what to do, but I'm just curious, like, can you tell me what's going on with May this week? And
yeah,
you're like,
any ideas?
Yeah,
Yeah, he's playing. So okay. Oh, that's great to hear. I'm glad you came up with that decision.
So here's the question. And it doesn't sound like it's going to happen this week against the Niners, which I think is a shame, and I would do. I think it's now time to go to Drake May. Perhaps you disagree. I know the thought police, Greg Bedard, says don't even think about it.
I'm thinking about it.
Mark Daniels says no chance you go to him.
Yes, chance.
I think chance.
Chance.
My favorite card, Monopoly.
Chance?
Yeah,
really?
Oh, yeah. You never know. Roll the dice is a thrill, Keith.
I'll take the oranges. You win the Monopoly? I guarantee you, if you have hotels on the oranges, you win every time.
You know what? I like those.
New York Ave.
I like those
St. James Place.
I like those dark purples right after you pass go.
The cheap ones?
Yeah, Baltic.
The Mediterranean?
Yeah, those are nice.
That's like $60 to
Yeah,
stay
but
there.
They're nice, though, because you cross go, it's demoralizing.
You're better off with Connecticut and the light blues.
You cross go,
yeah,
and then you get your 200, but you don't get your 200 because you landed on Baltic.
No, you're better off, trust me, because when people go to jail, they come out of jail. If you roll a 6, 8, or 9, you're landing on an orange.
Yeah.
Hotel in New York, $1,000.
Nice. Yeah, but
that's 10 hams.
How much does it cost you to build?
Not that bad. Like $100 for a house. Over,
you're missing the
it's
overhead.
It's way better than
Boardwalk. There's no overhead on the dark purples. It costs nothing.
Yeah, but
pocket lint.
As soon as I walk by, I get my money to pay you, and I still have some left over. You're going to play forever that way. If I build up the oranges, you're porked.
I'm bleeding you out.
I'm
bleeding you out with the dark purples.
And you only have two. There's only two spots.
Yeah, but when you hit it?
I'm telling you, the oranges. Everyone's like, Boardwalk and Park Place. No. You pay through the nose to build there.
Who can afford those?
You can't.
Seriously.
Paying through the nose. There's luxury taxes hanging out over there. You want the oranges.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a spot right before free parking. People are like, I'm at free parking. Psych, I'm at New York Ave. $1,000.
That is a swing.
Yeah.
And last night was a swing for the Patriots.
Next thing you know, you're mortgaging properties.
So
trying to trade me the railroad.
You know, Monopoly Junior doesn't have the railroads.
Wait, what?
My kid goes,
The T?
Yeah,
but they have the T.
No, my kid goes, let's play Monopoly, Monopoly
sure.
Junior.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, let's play. I go, where are the railroads? He goes, there's railroads. He's all
railroads?
Disappointed. There's no, yeah. He's like, that'd be cool if there were railroads
it's a
in this
safe
game.
Space on
buy
every turn.
Be a railroad baron. not in the game.
All I have is the railroads.
Yeah, not in the game.
And electric properties.
So, I hope there's a chance he plays, but it doesn't sound like it's going to be this week.
Nope.
Who gives you a better chance behind the offensive line? Who gives you a better opportunity? I think it's Drake May.
Yeah.
I think you saw that late in the game last night. I didn't hate what I saw. He almost threw a pick. He got body slammed to the ground. He also had 4 of their 11 first downs. He moved it on one drive. I think he played better after he was hit. He zipped one into Pop Douglas, which you did not see from Jacoby Brissett. So I like some of that.
And also, let's see what it looks like with him getting all of the practice reps.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what it looks like where Alex Van Pelt knows going into the game. Let's give him a little bit of credit, right? Been in the league a long time.
Yep.
If you are preparing for Drake May, maybe you have a few different calls than you would with Jacoby Brissett. And can't you, just as an experienced NFL coach, kind of scheme it up in a way where you're putting him in fewer chances to get absolutely murdered? And you can also explain to him, be like, listen, I'm glad you got up from that last hit, but it's the NFL. Everything's a little bit faster. You got to get rid of the ball a little bit quicker. Right? You got to make your decisions a little bit quicker. So I think if you told him today he's the starter, and now he has a week and a half to sort of get ready for it and go out there, I think it's going to look a lot better than it did last night. I'm not predicting all of a sudden, look out, defenses around the league, here come the Patriots. But I think you're scoring more than 3 points, you're moving the ball, and you're not just a bore to watch offensively.
No. And so you guys can jump in on this all day long. Open line 617-779-7937. Patriots smoked last night. Score wasn't even as close as it indicated. There's second guessing of the coaching staff. It's as flat as you could be for a performance from the Pats. When do they go to Drake May? Should they go to Drake May? All your thoughts on that. Again, it's 617-779-7937. We're going to be joined by a member of the Patriots coaching staff coming up next.
Nice.
Marcus Covington, the defensive coordinator, who's still trying to find a way to stop Aaron Rodgers. We're going to get to that with all your thoughts next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Patriots Friday. Patriots fall 24-3 last night to the New York Jets. On Thursday Night Football, national TV, Amazon Prime. We've been talking about it all day long with your phone call, 617-779-7937. We talked a lot about the quarterback situation. Do the Patriots make a change? Should they make a change? Mayo shot that down earlier today, as did Alex Van Pelt. Talked a lot about the offensive game plan, the defensive struggles, and for more on all that, we're joined now here on Jones and Keefe by Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington. DeMarcus, obviously not ideal situations to talk to you for the first time, but thanks for joining us here on Jones and Keefe.
Thanks for having me.
Rough outing last night, to put it mildly. What went wrong in your view?
Yeah, first of all, I just think just fundamentals, technique, so tackling. So that's a big key of that. So For us, we got to correct those issues as our, which we work on those every day in practice, which we'll get that corrected going forward. Just really tackling and really with our misalignments on stuff in there, continue to, you know, we need to contain the quarterback.
Well, and it felt like the, you mentioned tackling, that stood out because you guys were so good week one. Like week one was one of the best tackling teams I felt like in the NFL. And then for just two games later to have so many missed tackles, and you're, how can that happen? I know Bentley's not there and he's one of your better tacklers, but just as a team going from a great performance week one to what we saw last night.
Yeah, that's a good question where, you know, normally we take pride in our fundamentals in tackling. So, and that's why we work on it every single day. So, we're definitely going to address it come Monday with our players and make sure we do show them, you know, exactly how we missed the tackle, how we can get better at those deals, and then wrapping and squeezing, closing the space, you know, all of the above when we talk about, you know, fundamentals of tackling.
Okay, so fundamentals of tackling is one thing. You mentioned containing Aaron Rodgers in the pocket. That's something I heard Jerod Mayo talking about after the game last night. Maybe he reiterated it today as well. It sounds like something you guys attempted to instill in the players and reiterate over and over again. Is there an issue of players not listening? Like, how does that not get through?
No, I would say just being disciplined. So just continue to be disciplined through, you know, 60 minutes. So it can't be just one play here, one play there, or, you know, it adds up at the end of time. So it's really just continue to preach about being disciplined, playing for 60 minutes plus however long it takes. And it just can't be, you know, where it's like we have a contained issue here on this play and then like 20 plays later again. Like we have to be, you know, consistent, you know, on that approach and rushing the passer.
You know, it felt like the last two games, both Geno Smith and Aaron Rodgers looked pretty comfortable back there, completed a real high percentage of throws. Is that more on the pass rush, or are you looking at the coverage? How do you break that down?
No, the ball's getting out very, very quick. You know, so when you look at the coverage, it's really or pass rush, they're getting back there, they're hitting them, but the ball is getting out really, really fast. So, so we just got to continue to have tighter coverage on that because the ball is getting out quick. You know, we got guys up there who are beating the tackles and actually like getting back there pretty quick. But it just got to be, you know, tighter coverage on there because both of those two quarterbacks got the ball out pretty fast.
Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington joining us here on a Patriots Friday. Jones and Keefe on WEEI. You mentioned them getting the ball out quickly. It seemed like, and maybe I'm wrong about this, you can correct me if I am, that pace has gotten to you guys a little bit the last couple of weeks. The Seahawks did some of that. Rodgers did some of that last night. I guess, first of all, do you agree? And if so, how do you adjust to teams speeding up and increasing that pace?
No, I would say, you know, the Seahawks game, there was a, you know, where you know, they used tempo to drive their offense. I would say not too much last night. I just think, you know, more of the, just like you talked about, the ball getting out fast, the look passes, you know, him throwing it out there with the uncovered receiver if we're playing off. I don't think the tempo was an issue last night or the hurry up or anything like that.
What's been the biggest challenge for you in this new role as defensive coordinator? There's been a lot of talk, obviously, about Jerod Mayo going from linebacker coach to head coach, but here you are going from D-line coach to defensive coordinator in your first year. What has stood out these first 3 weeks?
For me, it's the same, just trying to get our lead our players in the right way, try to lead our staff in the right way, get us going out there, play good football, good discipline football, and try to help us win football games. That's really what I've been focused on, trying to best put the best product out there on the field and week to week, and that's what I'm continuing to do, make sure that we're, you know, go out there and, you know, try to help this football team be in the best position possible.
I personally wasn't overly impressed with Aaron Rodgers the first couple weeks of the year. Rich and I disagreed on that. Score one for Keefe. Big strikeout by me. What impressed you the most about his performance last night at age 40?
Really, I mean, he can get the ball out pretty fast. But when you look at it, I mean, we saw it the first 2 weeks too. It's routine plays that whether us, Tennessee, you know, they scored two touchdowns, missed tackles. It's the same thing when you look at our game, is missed tackles. So their team is doing a really good job of, you know, making people miss tackles, running through contact and stuff like that. So it's really, you know, like for us, it was us. You know, it was definitely us as a defense. But he does a really good job being calm under pressure, and also just really directing the offense, you know, and putting them in the right position. So, you know, whether it's a run play, he turns it into a pass. Just, you know, he has the keys to the car with that.
You know, Keon White, I feel like, is now getting a lot of attention nationally. You know, he had a solid rookie year, but he has 4 sacks the first 2 weeks. No sacks last night, but he got a couple more hits on the quarterback. You know, how has he been? Like, have you seen that huge step forward from year one to year two with Keon White? But then also maybe making sure he doesn't get too far ahead of himself, because if you read some of the national people now, they're talking about him as being one of these great pass rushers, one of these great defensive linemen in the NFL as early as it is in his career.
No, he's one of our best football players, period. He wins, you know. He can play the run. He can rush the passer. He can drop in coverage. He can do it all. So, to me, he's doing a good job taking that year one to year two leap, and he's becoming a leader, you know, within our locker room. So, to me, he's everything you want in a player, especially at that position that can, you know, most times you get guys who can play the run. And most times you only get guys who can rush the passer. Keon can do both.
Patriots Friday here on WEEI, talking to Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington. What do you think of the personal foul call on Jelani Tavai, the body slam? Is that the right call?
Hey, they called it, so up to them. So they called it, it's the right call.
How do you assess Christian Gonzalez's season thus far? Of course, last year came out a house of fire, but then was hurt. You know, he was hurt in that 4th game. This year, 3 games in the books. You guys have gone up against some really top-end wide receivers. How would you assess his play?
He's doing everything we ask him to do every week. He's stepping up to the challenge, and then he's buying into the process, and that's another guy that, you know, we're going to lean on this defense. And then, you know, you got guys like him and Keon going into year two, so you got a good foundation for the future where, you know, those two dudes are good for us.
You know, going back to the Seattle game real quick, was that, and maybe you've already talked about this, but was that just a miscommunication between he and Duggar talking about the big DK Metcalf touchdown, or what happened there, and how quickly did you guys clear that up after the fact?
Yeah, we cleared that up right after the fact. Yeah, that's something we've seen in the past before. And so, you know, but haven't got many reps at that particular play within that call. And but yeah, we definitely clean that up right after that play.
A lot of interest in the fan base from Rich and myself about Drake May. He gets into the game late. I know you have other things going on, other responsibilities, prepping the defense, doing your job. But what was your view on that final drive from Drake May? What'd you see there?
To be honest, I have to go watch it. I was too busy, you know, with our defense focusing on what we need to do. So I would have to go watch it. I'm really focused on the defense and trying to figure out how we can get better.
Does the defense have a preference who starts? There were reports in mixed reporting last year about a division within the team, Bailey Zappe, Mac Jones. Does the defense care who starts?
No, we care about stopping the other team's offense. That's what we care about. We care about, you know, going through and out, creating takeaways, playing dominant defense, all right, and trying to put us in the best, you know, spot to win, field position, all of the above. That's what we care about. So that answers your question.
Okay. He's Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington joining us here on Jones and Keefe. We appreciate the time, DeMarcus, on a Patriots Friday. I will talk to you down the line.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
DeMarcus Covington joining us here on WEEI. Defense doesn't care who starts. I get he has to say that. And
yeah.
I'm not saying he's not telling us the truth, but like.
Well, they obviously want those 4 points, but I'll tell you what.
If I were a defender, I would care.
Yeah.
I will speak for myself. I would care.
No, they would. But also the last 2 weeks, they don't really have a leg to stand on as far as like a rift. You can see teams having a rift. And even if one say that there isn't, if one side of the ball is a lot better than the other, there is. Like, there for sure is. If it's, oh, you guys just punted again? Oh, you guys just punted again?
Yeah.
But if you're an offensive player, you'd be like, oh, did you guys give up a 80-yard drive again? Did you guys just give up an 80-yard drive again? Did you guys get Aaron Rodgers off the field once? So, like, both sides, are just going to keep it to themselves after a game like
that's
last
fair.
Night.
Hey, how about you rip off Alan Lazard's jersey again? Right. Maybe tackle him next time.
Now, if it was 10-3,
was
your final score,
different situation.
You could see Covington and the defense being like, hey, I don't care who the quarterback is, but maybe one that can score or have the ball for more than 2 minutes so these guys don't have to sit down. We go over one play, and now the punt team's out there again.
Right.
Like, they'd get pissed, but right now, they can't. Not yet, anyway.
Well, maybe the offensive line would care. Although they haven't done a good job protecting the quarterback. We'll talk to Mike Nwenu on a Patriots Friday. All your thoughts here after what was a blow. You wouldn't know it if you just woke up and saw the score 24-3. You'd be like,
that's terrible.
That's ugly, but only 24 points.
Worse.
No, it was
much worse.
It was so much worse. It was the most non-competitive 24-3 game I've ever seen in my life, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to all your thoughts on it. The game plan for the Patriots on both sides of the football. What do they do at quarterback? What should they do at quarterback? Again, 617-779-7937. Plus, it's a Friday, which means we check in with Lou Maloney, Red Sox insider, at high noon. Next.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.